This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Verdoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all of Chicago's sports and betting news. This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Buffoon. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffoon. A Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. And play it right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffoon 55. The John Buffoon Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Buffoon 55, the fastest-paced Chicago Bears football podcast available. I am your host, John Buffoon. Barflies, how about that taming of the lions last week? We own the Bears, huh? Snacks was a better deal than Mac, huh? Sure, we'll see you guys on Thanksgiving. Bears girl is out on a family matter, so we went deep into the bullpen. We're dusting off that old antique Aldo Gandiva Gandia Aldo. Do you remember how to do this?
I think I remember how, but excuse my upcoming mistakes if I goof up, okay?
I'll carry you as I always do. Thanks for being with us and stepping in. We got some good guests tonight. Joining us right now is someone who goes way back with the barroom to its early days as the NFC North barroom. Drew Mahold is our guest, and he covers the Minnesota Vikings for Viking Territory. Drew, welcome to Buffoon 55. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I love the energy with this show so far. This is awesome. This is great.
Oh, you were just getting started. Let's light this firecracker. I want to know your take on this divisional matchup and fight for first place between the Bears and the Vikings. Drew, before we delve into the Vikings, you recently wrote, I'm not going to try to put you on the spot, but I'm going to kind of maybe put you on the spot.
Oh, go for it.
You recently wrote, Chicago's quarterback is still Mitchell Trubisky, so I'm very hesitant to buy into the Bears as a serious contender. I would probably change my mind if the Bears beat the Vikings on Sunday. So, Drew, tell me, what is it about Trubisky that still gives you cause to pause when thinking about the Bears as a playoff team?
Yeah, I think with Trubisky, for me, it's about the way he performs under pressure when either blitzed or when the pass rush gets to him. I haven't seen a lot of big-time throws made when there's guys in his face and he has to stand in there in the pocket and make throws. Now, I love the way he plays outside the pocket. When he gets on the move, he's there are a lot of quarterbacks like that that actually do give the Vikings problems. But, you know, in the pocket, when he's got to make a tough throw on like a third and eight, for example, I'm not there with him yet. And I feel bad saying this because he just won Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC. So I'm probably going to get some heat from this from a lot of the listeners, obviously that are majority Bears fans, but hey, I'm ready for it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of Bears fans are cognizant of the situation. They see it as a work in progress. They're seeing their quarterback take baby steps every week. So we're hoping that he can change your mind this week against the Vikings. But I do want to switch over to the other quarterback. We're talking about the Vikings quarterback, Kirk Cousins. He's seventh in the NFL in passing yards with almost 2,700 yards, has 17 touchdowns, only five picks. But Cousins sits at 28th in yards per completion, and he has the fifth lowest air yards per attempt. According to Next Gen Stats, he's the third least aggressive quarterback in the NFL, having thrown into tight coverage just 12% of the time. Now, my question is, can Cousins be more aggressive with his passing, or is there just a general feeling that this is his game, which has been relatively effective, by the way? In fact, in 2016, his best season, he was the second least aggressive quarterback in the league, according to ESPN. So is this just what Kirk Cousins does to be effective, or is there room to be more aggressive?
Yeah, I think it's part of his play style, but also, I mean, when he does throw the ball downfield, he's been incredibly efficient doing so. And it helps to have, you know, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, those guys that go down the field and can make the plays. But whether it's, you know, it's probably a combination of John DeFilippo. He loves to get the ball to Stephon Diggs almost behind the line of scrimmage and let him kind of go to work. And I think that plays a lot into those numbers there with Cousins taking short throws and kind of letting his receivers go to work. John DeFilippo has done a bunch of that with the Vikings. So, with Kirk, you're going to get once in a while those fantastic throws on the field that kind of make your jaw drop. But a lot of the throws that he does make are short. They're underneath. And, you know, the Vikings do have some guys that can make plays with the ball in their hands after the catch, which does play into that as well. So part of it's Kirk Cousins' play style. Part of it's the personnel. Part of it is John DeFilippo just trying to create some opportunities for playmakers in space.
I want to talk about the guys who are in charge of protecting Cousins. The Vikings offensive line, some would say, has been this team's Achilles heel the last several years. But yes. How are they faring this year, and how are they going to match up against Chicago's defensive line, which is getting a pretty good reputation this year?
Yeah, this kind of scares me. I'll be completely honest. The Vikings offensive line, I think it's taken a bit of a step back from last year. Last year saw, you know, a huge improvement from 2016, which really wasn't that hard to do. But I think Riley Reiff, when he's been in and healthy, has been pretty solid. Tom Compton has been a lot better than I expected at left guard. But then, you know, things get hairy. They have now a rookie right tackle in there, and Brian O'Neill, who he's actually a little bit farther ahead of where I would have put him at this point, but there's still a lot of work to be done there. And then Pat Elflein is still recovering from some injuries. So he's getting some game action in, but there's clearly he's clearly not quite where he was at last year. So it's a work in progress as usual with the Vikings offensive line. That's kind of the mojo for that group for almost a decade now. It's been a long time since I can look back at the Vikings offensive line and really be satisfied with what's up there. So a lot of I think there is some potential in the offense being limited by that group.
We're talking to Drew Mahold. He covers the Vikings for Viking Territory. Drew, we're making our rounds around the Vikings offense right now. What does the return of Dalvin Cook mean for this offense? He's been hit and miss for most of his short career so far when it comes to health. Is he at 100%? Can we see the explosive Dalvin Cook we've seen in short bursts, or is this a guy that's just trying to play through some injuries right now?
I sure hope he's 100%. And I think hopefully we saw that in that that Lions game with that 70-yard carry a couple weeks ago. You really saw that the burst and the speed to the edge that I think it's unique that he has that. I don't think a lot of running backs have that. Maybe Tariq Cohen's one of them in Chicago. But he gives you that home run threat I don't think Latavius Murray has that. I don't think any of the other Vikings running backs have that. And Dalvin, he can line him up at receiver. He can take a pass out of the backfield. He's a very good pass protector as well. So obviously, yeah, huge to have him back in multiple facets of the offense. And I think moving forward, I think you'll see some different looks from the Vikings offense that you wouldn't get from an offense with Latavius Murray as the bell cow.
Let's jump over to the other side of the ball. Vikings defense has a lot of excellent players right off the bat. Hunter at defensive end jumps to mind. He has 11.5 sacks. Can you kind of scout Hunter for us Bears fans? What makes him so effective? And does he have any weaknesses in his repertoire? Or is he just got a guy that kind of just takes what he wants?
Yeah, I don't think he does have a weakness, which Bears fans are kind of familiar with that type of player, Khalil Mack. But Hunter, he came into the league as an extremely raw, kind of just an athlete. And I guess he was somewhat known as being a run defender at LSU, but he didn't really have anything in a pass rush, really. He just kind of won with athleticism. That's how it was the first couple years of his career. And really last year and into this year, you've kind of seen him really define some actual pass rush moves. You're seeing a spin move. You're seeing a swim, all kinds of different things that with his super incredible length, the size, the athleticism, it's really unbelievable. And that combination of excellent run defense with the pass rush skills, it's very rare out of an outside edge rusher. So he's up there with, I think he's got to be top five at least in terms of edge players in the NFL. So a very tall task for the Bears offensive line for sure.
Let's jump into the secondary now. Harrison Smith and Xavier Rhodes are among the best in the NFC at their positions. Are there any other standouts in this Viking defensive backfield that Bears fans aren't really thinking about but could have a big impact on the game?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple. Trey Waynes, I think, has played very, very well. Xavier Rhodes has been banged up a couple of weeks here, and Waynes has had to play, you know, a more important role recently, I think he stepped up and done so tremendously in relief of Rhodes. But also, I'm going to point to Anthony Harris, who has gotten some action. He's a safety backing up Andrew Sendejo. Sendejo has been out for a little bit as well with some injuries, and Harris has come in there. I believe his passer rating allowed this year is, it might be zero. If not, it's very, it's in the low, like it's below 20, I'm pretty sure. I'll have to double check on that, but it's phenomenal what he's doing. And quarterbacks are not having much success throwing in his area. So those are a couple of guys I'd look for. Also, Jaron Curse is another guy, just because you'll see him in the slot a lot. He's a 6'5" safety, and the Vikings have used him at slot cornerback a lot this year, which is very unique for a guy of that size. So that's a couple things to look for. And I with Curse, I'll say that's very unique to get a guy of that size playing in the slot, which a lot of teams like to use a bigger receiver in there for a mismatch.
Before we get into the Anthony Barr saga, I'm gonna try to wake up my producer Aldo Gondia. Aldo, are you awake over there? Are you paying attention to the chat room? I know we like, because one of the things we like to do on Buffon 55 is take some questions from the chat room. Aldo, we have any action in there so far?
Yeah, we got plenty of action. I got a couple from you for you, Michael from TickSplits.com, one of our sponsors. So if you need some tickets, Drew, go over to TickSplits.com, and Michael might be able to hook you up. He's got a question. Cousins was supposed to be the answer in Minnesota. What do you think is the reason both the offense and their defense has taken a step back this season?
Sure. You know, I don't want to be the guy that blames everything on injuries, but I will partially blame it on injuries, just because Xavier Rhodes has been banged up. Anthony Barr has been banged up. Everson Griffin wasn't really an injury, but he missed several weeks there. You're missing a lot of key guys for that early stretch of the season. So that's part of it. But I mean, you know, I think, and as you know, basic and generic as this is, the Vikings haven't put a full game together. There are games where, like that Rams game, the offense put together one heck of a game, but the defense didn't even show up. And then you have other games, like I would say the Lions game, and in some degree, the Jets game, the defense really showed up and shut down the opposing offense, and the Vikings offense was very hit or miss. So I think, you know, it's still coming together. They're still piecing together the new pieces. Cousins working with the receivers. John DeFilippo working with his new pieces on offense. So I think they have to hit their peak, and we have yet to see a complete game from this team.
And I've got a follow-up here. Hair Bear wants to know, why does Cousins fumble so much, and how many times will he give up the ball to Khalil Mack without dying, he says.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if he gave up the ball a couple of times this week. That is one of the major knocks on Kirk Cousins' game, is kind of a carelessness with the ball, and you know, when there's rushers bearing down on him. So I very much respect Cousins' ability to throw the ball down the field, make any throw really that you need him to make. Again, if there is one major weakness in his game that I have to rag on, it is the fumbleitis, if you will, that he has. It's given the Vikings problems a couple of times. I think that's how that Bills game really got out of hand early, was a couple of fumbles right away for the Vikings.
Yeah, I got one of my own. We have been having some kicking problems with our guy, Cody Parkey.
I know about kicking problems.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to ask you. You guys in Minnesota are well aware of kicking problems. What does the kicking game look like for the Vikings this year?
It's better, which isn't saying a whole lot. But Dan Bailey is steady, which is what the Vikings have missed at the position for a long time. Early on, you know, I really could say that Packers game week two is a tie only because Daniel Carlson was a Vikings kicker at the time and missed two game-winning kicks, actually, in that game. But the second most accurate kicker in the NFL, in NFL history, Dan Bailey, is in Minnesota. And a shaky start, I think. I think his first game with real action was the Philadelphia game week five, and he missed a couple of kicks there. But since then has been pretty solid. So far, so good. But I'm definitely not going to get my hopes too high, being that it is the Minnesota Vikings.
I bet he practices at the field he's supposed to practice at, but we'll save that for later on in the show. We're talking to Drew Mahold of Viking territory. Drew, I think a story that has been flying under the radar, it was spotlighted early on in the year, and people might be seeing it fade away. What's happened to linebacker Anthony Barr? It looked like he was headed to a stellar NFL career, and now his future with the Vikings is in doubt. Can you kind of shed some light on that situation?
Yeah, that Rams game wasn't a great look for Anthony Barr, was it, when he had, I think it was three touchdowns he gave up in that game in his coverage. So not great, but I will say that I think he's picked it up quite a bit since then. You know, you're not calling his name out very much because he's not giving up big plays, whether it be the passing game or in the running game. So But you're right. You know, his future with the Vikings is in doubt. He was kind of a major candidate for an extension here, and he hasn't really picked up the play or shown that he deserves that long-term deal that maybe, you know, Eric Kendricks has done and he earned and received actually this past offseason. So definitely something to watch moving forward the rest of the season for the Vikings is whether Anthony Barr, you know, puts that performance on the field and does earn that contract extension.
Now let's talk about the actual matchup. Let's talk about what's going to go on in the field on Sunday. What do the Vikings have to do to win at Soldier Field Sunday night? The Bears opened up as a favorite here, but you could say that a lot of that comes from being the home team. What are the Vikings going to have to do well and try to take advantage of to come out victorious?
Well, I think, first of all, offensively, I think the offensive line has to somehow, some way, keep Kirk Cousins clean. I mean, goodness gracious, that Bears pass rush is very scary against this Vikings offensive line. So I would imagine John DeFilippo will do what he can to get the ball out quick, keep those throws short like he's been doing kind of this season, get the ball to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in space where they can make plays and make defenders miss, hopefully. But so that's kind of the main thing on offense is to, again, keep Cousins clean in the pocket. On defense, I think, you know, the Vikings pass rush has been unbelievable the past couple of games here. They had 10 sacks against Matt Stafford. I don't know how many the Bears had against Matt Stafford, but he's been sacked quite a bit the last couple of games. So if I'm the Vikings, I'm attacking Mitch Trubisky. I'm making him, like I said, I'm trying to keep him in the pocket, though, and I'm trying to make him, you know, throw the ball down the field while he's got defenders, you know, that pocket collapsing. I think that's where the Vikings can win that matchup. So, again, offensively, keep Cousins clean. Keep Khalil Mack out of there. Maybe add a tight end in there to help protect and keep Cousins, again, healthy, clean, and give him enough time. And then defensively, get after Mitch Trubisky as much as possible.
Is it promising as a Vikings fan, as somebody who covers the Vikings, is to kind of watch the tape on Miami against Chicago, and they just chipped away at Chicago's defense the entire time using guys like Albert Wilson. Now, Albert Wilson is not Stephon Diggs. So if the Vikings are able to copy that play script, is that kind of promising, knowing that the Bears haven't always played well against the short, quick passes on defense so far this year, although you can say a lot of that's due to the lack of adjustments from a defensive coordinator. That's for another time, a different show. Yeah. However, is that promising on your end?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at that Dolphins game, and I think a lot of that too. I mean, this is kind of a respect thing to the Bears, I would say, but a lot of that game was weird. It was really weird because yeah. Brock Osweiler had so many of those like 4 or 5 yard completions that turned into like 70 yard plays, and there was, what was it, 100 degrees that day, and you know, obviously these Chicago Bears players and coaches are definitely not used to that kind of weather. So I think Miami took advantage of that, and I think it made a big difference in the game. So, you know, but I will say that I would expect a lot of a similar game plan from the Vikings, again, with the short passes. It's been something they've done all year, and I would imagine they'll continue to do it based on some of the things they maybe have seen, especially in that Miami game.
We always appreciate somebody else making excuses for the Bears and why they lost. So you're getting some brownie points over there. Hey, Drew, before we let you go, I want you to let people know how they can connect with you on social media, read your stuff, listen to you. And then after that, can I get a prediction out of you?
Perfect. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Drew Mahold. I'm on there way too much during the day, so I'll be sure to interact. And then it's VikingsTerritory.com. I have a weekly column up there and also contributing variously throughout the week. So that'll be on there as well. And then for a prediction this week, the Vikings defense right now is absolutely humming. So I think this will be a low scoring game. I would bet the under if you're a gambling person. So I'm going to say, I think the Vikings win by a touchdown 20-13. I think that's mostly due to, again, I don't have the faith in Trubisky to make the key throws when a NFC North, you know, leading game is on the line. And I think the Vikings pass rush will get after him and make the difference.
Sounds good. Drew Mahold of Vikings Territory, thank you so much for being on with us tonight, Drew. Hope to talk to you down the line sometime.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. Hey, Barflies, we're double dipping. We got two guests tonight. Our next guest is the editor of BetChicago.com, Thomas Casale. Thomas, you know BetChicago.com really well as they sponsor our radio network and specifically the Mike North Advantage. Tell us a little bit about the site. By the way, thanks for being on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. The BetChicago, we cover a lot of Chicago sports and national stuff. Pretty much anything that has to do with betting, future odds. We have NFL previews. We have it all. I mean, we cover the Cubs anything you're interested in Chicago, we have it. We cover the big national stories and anything, and I mean anything, that has to do with gambling. Today we had odds up on who's going to be the last person standing on Game of Thrones. So we cover it all.
Oh, man, that's just a one-stop shop for anybody who likes a little bit of wagering. Now, I understand the website and Bears Barroom have teamed up for a promotion. Can you please tell us how that works, how much it'll cost us, and what we can win?
Yes, it'll cost you absolutely nothing. It's free to enter. You have to make sure you use the code BARROOM. When you get there, free to enter, use the code BARROOM, and then you have to beat the great Mike North. You have to get more picks right than him, and if you do, we have six games up there, including the Bears game, and if you get more picks right than Mike North, we're going to send you a Bet Chicago prize pack. I have hats, gloves, scarves, pens, tote bags, coolers. We got all kinds of stuff. So all you got to do is go on there, sign up for free, enter the code BARROOM, get more picks right than Mike North, and you're a winner.
Oh, man, that's a two-prong package there. You get a whole bunch of prizes plus bragging rights over Mike North. I know a lot of barflies would love that. Mike's got a phenomenal record for a sports handicapper, so it makes sense you guys at Bet Chicago would have him on your side. What about Mike kind of drew him to you guys?
Well, he's knowledgeable, and like you said, he's a good sports handicapper. You know, a lot of people out there are just frauds and scam artists. But Mike, he really puts in the time. He has the results to prove it. So, hey, if you want to go up against somebody, you want to go up against the best. And Mike's the best when it comes to Chicago sports handicapping. So it's a pleasure to partner with him, and we'll see how many people can take him down this week.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. So we're looking forward to that. I want to talk a little bit about the game. What are your thoughts on this 2018 Chicago Bears team? Are you a believer in their success over the last nine games?
I'm a huge believer, and I didn't even grow up a Bears fan. So I'm an objective, unbiased observer. And here's the thing. You know, I'm hearing that the Bears didn't beat anybody, right? And that's such a lazy argument. I hear it every year. When the Panthers made their Super Bowl run, we heard, well, they didn't beat anybody. They didn't beat anyone all the way to the Super Bowl. They were blowing teams out by 21 points. You know, last year we saw the Eagles. The Eagles lost in week two to the Chiefs. And up until they played the Rams and beat them, the game where Wentz got hurt, people weren't buying into them. They didn't beat anybody. We heard the same thing with the Jaguars, who came a couple minutes away from beating New England and going to the Super Bowl. You have to look at these teams and what they're doing week to week. It is so hard in the NFL to get up every week and beat these teams like the Bears are doing. What they've done the last couple of weeks to me is very impressive. They've had spots where, you know, I picked against them, to be honest with you, because I was like, here, this is a letdown spot, this is a letdown spot. But to watch that team win and take care of business against the team they're supposed to take care of business against, plus they played very well in a game against the Patriots. That's the game I've been impressed with the most, to be honest with you, out of all of them. I think this team's going to be a nightmare come playoff time.
Well, I mean, so far, Bears fans, some of them say they are exceeding expectations, and they're excited. I'm excited. I think everyone's getting excited. The Bears are known for their defensive play. With Khalil Mack on the team, they are living up to what they are known for. But do you think this offense under Matt Nagy's leadership is going to start to change the identity of this team? Maybe they're respected a little bit for their defense and their offense instead of the defense kind of carrying the way.
I do, and I think Trubisky's getting a bad rap. You know,
I would agree.
I heard Drew say, well, you know, Kirk Cousins needs time with his receivers in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins has been in the league 5 years. Trubisky played last year under John Fox and was thrown to Josh Bellamy and Kendall Wright. Okay? Ooh. I mean, that offense was archaic. We heard late in the training camp that, well, geez, we're still putting in stuff in the offense. It's coming along kind of slow. I mean, you know, kind of made you nervous. But this offense is starting to click a little bit now. And, I think it's the whole Deshaun Watson-Trubisky argument, where Watson had that, you know, great rookie season when he played and Trubisky was struggling. But, hey, that was last year. You watch Trubisky play now. I think he's getting better every game. I think he's making some of those throws. Drew said he's a little nervous about them. Plus, he's knowing when to use his legs. And knowing when to use your legs and just doing it are two different things. I like what he's doing in the pocket. I see the offense getting better every week. The defense, that front seven's as good as there is. And the Rams, the Saints, I don't care who it is. You come playoff time, they're going to want no part of that. And the Vikings, with that offensive line, I think Drew was being a little nice. They're in big, big trouble Sunday night.
Well, we're hoping as Bears fan, you're right. And I think that, yeah, you called the last Bears regime offense archaic. Yeah, I think a lot of Pop Warner offenses have more wrinkles than Dowell Loggins' offense do. But so I think that we're getting a little spoiled in Chicago with our offensive ingenuity. We're talking to Thomas Casale of BetChicago.com. I want to know what your thoughts are on Jordan Howard. Is he simply just not a fit for this new offense? Or what do you think is going on with the running backs in Chicago?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I do a lot of fantasy stuff too. And, you know, Howard, he had the matchup of matchups last week. You know, the Lions give up 136 yards on the ground. They had the lead. I mean, you're thinking that's the game they're really going to use him. And I'm kind of agreeing with you. I don't know if he's a perfect fit for that offense. I think he can still play, so when they need him, he's there. But they're using the short pass more than the run, which is fine. I mean, a lot of teams do that in today's NFL. And, you know, you see Cohen more involved. You see, you know, Miller starting to become more involved with the offense, and he's a stud. So I think as the year goes on, you know, the Patriots have done this in the past where they don't really run the ball until later in the season into the playoffs. And they depend more on the passing game and the short passes. I'm going to be interested to see if Nagy takes a similar approach. And when it starts to become, you know, 15 degrees in Chicago, if we to see more Jordan Howard.
I wouldn't mind seeing Jordan Howard in a playoff game with fresh legs, not having 350 carries and get ready to run the ball down somebody's throat. I think that would be just fine. So, Thomas, you kind of talked about it earlier, but do you anticipate the Bears defense having any trouble with Kirk Cousins in the Viking offense? They have been susceptible to short, quick passes we've seen earlier in the season. Or do you think Vic Fangio kind of adjusts and is already preparing for that?
Well, that's the one. I mean, you guys mentioned it. The one way to beat the Bears is kind of get the ball to your receivers if you have the time. And obviously the Vikings have some receivers there. So that'll be the big issue. Here's the problem I see for the Vikings on Sunday night. You can't run the ball against the Bears. It's 68 yards per game given up. The Lions were running draw plays when they were down by 20 points. Yeah, you can run it then, but you can't run the ball against the Bears when it matters. And I think taking Cook out of the game early, that's going to be bad news for Cousins because the Bears are going to be able to pin their ears back, rush him. And, you know, again, you say, well, hey, Trubisky, when people are in his face, he can't make a throw. You ever see Cousins when he gets some pressure? He folds pretty quickly. So, to me, I think that front seven is going to control the game, and that'll be a big benefit to the secondary trying to deal with those Vikings receivers.
Talking to Thomas Casale of BetChicago.com. Thomas, before I let you go, I kind of already know which way you're leaning, but you want to give us a prediction on this game?
Yeah, I think, to me, the Bears are the best team in that division. I'm watching them. I think they're coming together. I think they enjoy playing together. Their defense, to me, is the best in the NFC. I like the Bears to make a statement Sunday night, 27-17 over the Vikings.
There you have it, Thomas Casale at BetChicago.com. Thomas, thanks for being on Buffon 55 tonight. Hope to talk to you down the road sometime.
All right, thank you.
Take care. All right, Aldo, wake up.
I am awake. Listen to this.
Uh-oh.
Don't you love
you know
that?
What that music means, barflies. Aldo, you haven't done this for a while, so why don't you remind everybody what the second half of the show looks like and kind of remind yourself, too.
I was just going to ask you. You want to remind me first? Well, let's remind everyone that I will ask you five questions about our beloved Chicago Bears, and for most of these, you're going to have 55 seconds to respond. The reason you've picked 55 seconds is a tribute to your uncle, Doug Buffon, who wore number 55 during his 15 seasons with the Chicago Bears. At the end of 55 seconds or so, you will hear a whistle, at which time you can either put the brakes on to your response or just wind it down. John, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's do this, Aldo.
All right. Let's see. Question number one. You've had over 75 hours to contemplate the Chicago Bears win. How impressed were you with the overall performance of Mitchell Trubisky? And what specifically did he impress you the most? You've got 55 seconds, and those 55 seconds start when you start.
Well, it impresses me that you can see actual improvement every week. We don't see as much happy feet anymore. He's not running when there are open receivers, only running when he feels like he needs to. As a whole, I like the way he's handled adversity. A lot of people don't think about this, but in addition to the pressure of being the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, comes everyone in the country, outside of parts of Chicago perhaps, calling him a bust, a wasted pick. He's destined to sink the organization. That can't be easy. This guy has cleared every hurdle thrown at his way so far, and he's done it in a calm, cool, and collected manner. And that's how you want a franchise quarterback to act. He's not taking shots at the media. He's not being belligerent. He's being a professional, and he's kicking ass while doing it. You know, I feel like a lot of these national pundits, I'm not talking about the guys that actually cover the team. I'm talking about these guys who just go on national radio sometimes. I feel like a lot of them try to hide the fact that they know nothing about the Bears, so they create the most negative takes possible. So fans talk about what a bad take it is, and it causes a social media firestorm, and you can just say that they're trying to rabble rouse. All the while, they're hiding the fact that they really don't know anything about the team. So you can call it ignorance, you can call it laziness, call it whatever you want, but Mitch right now is making those national pundits look like clowns, because they're going to hold on to this narrative as long as they can, but eventually that's got to change.
You are so right. It's one of the reasons we founded Bears Barroom, was because we were just got sick and tired of listening to the national narrative. They just don't know. And in fact, some of the local guys on Chicago Sports Talk and so forth, because their attention is spread out all over everywhere with the Cubs, the Sox, the Blackhawks, the Fire, the Sky, and all this, that sometimes they just don't know as much as some of us here at the Bears Barroom. So I hate to tout our own horn here, but you're exactly right. And Mike Lombardi has been making the rounds today trying to defend his comment about he wouldn't buy Trubisky off a discount rack at some place, and he sounded pathetic trying to defend his point of view on stuff. So you are so right on that, John Buffon.
I mean, you can't just parachute in, pretend like you know everything about a subject, and then parachute out. And how many people are going to buy Mike Lombardi right now? Answer me that. So I don't think that. And that's the thing. You pick a bad take, and you die on the hill with it. So he's going to stick to that take, because some of these guys are way too stubborn or way too ego-driven to ever admit that they may have made a bad take on something.
I love your take on it, John Buffon. All right, question number two. This Bears defense, as ferocious as they've been this season, has had some fourth quarter issues. The guys over at FanSided that I looked at, he covers the Bears, and he noted that the defense has allowed a combined 83 points through the first three quarters in their nine games this season. That's a 9.2 points on average. Fantastic. That's about as sweet as a Buffon 55 hoodie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which you can get.
Plug that. Plug the swag shop, Aldo.
Bears girl does this so much better than I do. Anyway, the problem, though, with this Bears defense is that the fourth quarters, they've surrendered a total of 89 points, and that's just shy of 10 points on average. So, John, what do you think is happening in the fourth quarters of Chicago Bears games? And you are on the clock.
Well, it could be a number of things. Some of it might come from the offense sometimes parking the bus in the fourth quarter with the lead, and that kind of puts the defense in a precarious situation. But I heard an interesting theory about the Bears' somewhat conservative outlook late in the Lions game. It came from TixBlitz's own Mike Halitek, big fan of the show. He DM'd me on Twitter. He says, Nagy is keenly aware that they play again in just 10 days, and we saw little of the run game hitting the edges. We saw little of Gabriel and Burton in the passing game. We also saw little in the way of screen passes and getting Cohen more involved. I believe that Nagy will be getting these plays more involved on Thanksgiving, running out of the same formation that they saw against Detroit the first time. Now, I think there is some merit to that. If you're playing the same team twice in 10 days, you don't want to necessarily empty the hopper in a game that you have control of. Did it maybe make things a little closer than it should have been? Yeah, but maybe we see a whole bunch of different offensive looks that they turn the next matchup from Thanksgiving into Mitchgiving, as in Mitchgiving the Lions another L. So I think that there was something maybe to that. If you're in control of the game, don't show them your hand, because you got to play them again in about a week.
Nicely said. Nicely said. Let's move on to question number three. On Tuesday, Nagy reiterated that he's not satisfied with the Bears' running game. He added that you can't win in the NFL being one-dimensional, and claimed that he really does like running the ball. Do you think that the Bears' rushing attack is suffering from poor play calling by Nagy, or is the offensive line perhaps having some difficulties, or is it Jordan Howard? So what can you tell us to better help us better understand the problem? You got 55 seconds.
Well, the play calling probably doesn't help. There's too many plays and not enough downs in this playbook. That's just the way it is. And running out of the shotgun definitely doesn't help Jordan Howard. The numbers are down for him. Let's take a look. Howard has 460 yards. Mitch has 320. Cohen has 244. Overall, the rush stats, they're not eye-popping, but they're not horrendous. Howard's on track for 900 yards and 10 touchdowns. Remember last week when I said that Howard could be a rich man's LeGarrette Blount and he could stay healthier and be more productive and hopefully play longer? Howard is such a luxury to this offense that I hope that they can keep him around. It's like if you're making a pizza and someone gives you a wheel of Stilton cheese, and for you, those of you not familiar, that's an incredibly expensive English cheese. Now, obviously, you can make a great pizza without Stilton cheese, but if you have it, you use it when you really need to blow the doors off somebody's taste buds, and then you have the best pizza. Jordan Howard is Stilton cheese. When the Bears need a bruiser, he is there, and he is fresh, and he will blow your doors off. And somehow this question has made me starving. It's going to take me a lot to keep going. I am hungry for pizza right now, but right now Howard is a luxury and they're using him right.
That's wild. What's the name of that cheese?
Stilton cheese. Go to England.
I've never heard of that. Stilton cheese. I gotta try that. Man, oh man, I'm hungry now too. All right, question number four. Last week, Bears Girl asked you to pick the midseason award winners for the offense and promised that this week you tackle on the defense. So I'm going to do it a little differently, I think, than she did last week. So give me three awards and three honorable mentions. So number one, give me the team's best defensive back through nine games and give me an honorable mention. Then give me the team's best linebacker and then an honorable mention. And then give me the team's best defensive lineman and an honorable mention. And since you've got a lot to cover here, I'm turning off the 55-second clock, and I'm going to give you 156 seconds. Now, do you know why I'm giving you 156, why I chose that number?
I know why. Tell our fans.
Okay. 156. That's how many games your Uncle Doug started for the Chicago Bears. 156 seconds are on the clock. And go.
God, I love the symbolic parts of these numbers. But anyway, first for defensive back, Kyle Fuller. I know we gave him grief after the week one drop that would have sealed the game against Green Bay, but so far he's played great. Four interceptions, just a straight-up reliable number one corner. You can't take that for granted. Some people were worried that he wasn't going to live up to this contract. And I ask you, how happy are you that he's on Chicago's squad and not in Green Bay, who tried to sign him? By the way, I love how the Packers' Twitter reacts after they whiff on all these guys. Well, we didn't want Fuller at that price anyway. We didn't want Mac anyway for that price. We didn't want Vic Fangio. Our defense is so good. Well, get ready, Cheeseheads. You'll be getting yours at Soldier Field soon enough. The honorable mention for defensive backs, Bryce Callahan. I could have easily said Amukamara here, but Bryce Callahan has stepped up big in these games. 33 total tackles, two interceptions, has added some serious depth to one of the most important positions on the field. How many of y'all had Callahan on the radio on their radar this preseason? Kudos to you. You're better than I am. Let's switch gears to linebackers now. Are we for real? It's Khalil Mack. I don't care if he's missed two games. He's transformed this defense. Seven sacks, but more than that, he warrants so much attention that other guys can make plays, and he has become the face of this defense, and he will continue to do that for the next 5 to 6 years. Honorable mention for backers, Danny Trevathan. Most combined tackles with 66. He's the cerebral leader of this defense, responsible for bringing guys along like rookie Roquan Smith. He sets the tone as a professional. I know everyone gets hung up on the freakishness of Khalil Mack, and rightfully so, by the way, but don't forget who was the quarterback of this defense last year, and still pretty much is. And he's healthy. He hasn't missed any time, which is huge to have that veteran presence on the field at all times. By the way, it feels like Danny Trevathan's been in the league for 25 years, but he's only 28 years old. So let's be excited about that. Let's go on to the linemen and the honorable mention. Number one, though, Akeem Hicks. He's been registering pressure at a higher rate than ever before in 2018, according to Pro Football Focus. He sets the tone up front. I said this on many occasions. He's the kind of guy you'd run through a wall for. He is an animal. 29 combined tackles, 3 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, always around the ball, doesn't stop from start to finish. He's the guy on the line for some of the younger guys to look up to, and he's only 29 years old, too. Honorable mention for defensive lineman. I'm going Belil Nichols, kind of out of the box pick here. I think he's worth an honorable mention. Only 12 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. And if you don't watch Bears games, so national guys, sorry, he might seem like a weird pick here. But if you do watch the games, you'll see a 22-year-old rookie out of Delaware playing his ass off every play, blowing up the offensive line every chance he gets. I'm very excited about this guy and what his future holds with the Bears. Grades are pretty good across the board on Pro Football Focus. Just watch the kid when he gets in. in. He's a dog, he's hungry, and he's an honorable mention worthy guy, pure potential out of Bilal Nichols.
How did you do that exactly? Well, 156 seconds. Did you rehearse this thing or something? That's amazing.
Not once, but it's like that quarterback that has that internal clock when he's got to get rid of the ball. I can tell when it's all going down.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. All right, I'm going to throw you a curveball here and ask you for your rookie of the year of this 2018 Chicago Bears. So you've got, like, Roquan Smith to pick from, Anthony Miller, James Daniels, Bilal Nichols. You've got some good players to pick from. Who do you think is our offensive rookie of the year so far?
Yeah, you got to be excited about all the rookies coming in. I think it's got to be Roquan Smith because he's a guy that got plugged into the starting rotation automatically, and he's already a part of this defense. He's playing a major role on this defense becoming what it should be. So just by matters of, you know, circumstance, I know Anthony Miller is coming along a couple big games so far. Bears fans should be really excited about this guy. But the fact that Roquan Smith was a plug and play from day one, and he's getting better, and he's kind of finding his niche in the defense, I think he's probably Rookie of the Year for Chicago, at least.
Pretty cool. What a draft class Ryan Pace had in 2018. He's getting pretty good at that drafting thing.
No, I would say that he's finally warded off some of the haters, but there's always going to be a committed group to that.
All right, our final question, John. Now, no one needs a real estate agent more than Cody Parkey does right now, right? But maybe you can fix Cody with one of your earth-moving pep talks. Now, since I gave you 156 seconds on question number four, I'm going to leave the clock on for this final question, but it's a special clock. Now, we have this here at the Bears Barroom. We call it the Cody Parkey Poing Clock. Right, let's listen to how this works. Let me see if I can cue it up properly. You like that?
Oh, man, that's going to give me nightmares. But
yes, I think it's giving Cody Parkey nightmares. All right, so you've got 55 points. You know what? I'm going to turn off this darn clock. Let's not get distracted by that. I am really psyched for this pep talk to Cody Parkey. John, take it away.
It's come to me giving a pep talk to a kicker. God almighty. I don't think Cody needs a pep talk. Did you hear his interview after the game? He's pretty confident in his ability. Four uprights in the game, pretty impressive. He can hold his head high. He doesn't need a pep talk. He's a boot in his ass to get to Soldier Field and practice. I don't care about the commute or the inconvenience or how much film you watch. There are 500 kickers in the country that would walk from Cuyahoga Falls to Soldier Field every day if it meant they could be on an active roster. Get your ass to the stadium, figure out the win, and start making kicks. Do you think things would be so calm if the Bears would have lost that game by 2 points? Do you think that we would have had a rational response if he shanks a game winner, let's say in week 17 for the division, or God forbid the playoffs were on the line? It wouldn't be so comical then. I'm so tired of bad kicking in Chicago. Do your job, man. You can be so confident because you signed a 4-year deal and the Bears would have to shell out a substantial amount of money to make you go away. But you have to start making kicks. You know what I'm confident in you being 13 for 18 in field goals. I'm confident that you've missed 2 extra points last week. You better fix this before the real bad weather starts coming in, or winter will be coming very early for you, Cody Parkey. That being said, I have to get to my prediction, but I think that the Bears are going to score enough to win this game. They're at home. I like them to come out hot. Mitch puts up a long drive in the fourth to ice the game. I think the Bears get their real first statement win of the year, beating the Vikings. I think they win 33-24. Don't forget, this episode of Buffon 55 will be on your podcast stream first thing Thursday morning. Make sure you share it with your friends and give us a review on any of the delivery systems you get your podcast from. We're on all of them: iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. I think we're on Betamax. You can go and get us through Western Union. You name it. All you have to do is search for Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we will pop up. Although, I believe that we have some programming notes to go over for next week.
We do, actually. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all of these up on Twitter, but our schedule is going to change dramatically next week because it is Thanksgiving week. And so on Monday, we're moving Buffon 55 live right here on Monday. We're also going to have Bears on Tap on Monday, and we'll have Bears Hour live on Monday. So it's going to be 3+ hours of Chicago Bears talk here at Mixler.com on Monday, Thanksgiving week. And then the rest of the schedule is also going to be impacted on Tuesday. Bears 100 Proof will be live here on Mixler. And then on Wednesday, it's the Mike North Advantage. We'll let you know what we're going to do with the Trade Busy Show. Let's talk it out. But we'll have it all out for you at the BearsBarroom.com and on our Twitter feed at Bears Barroom. John, great show.
I got to open for those guys on Monday?
That's right.
Oh, no, that's like the Beatles opening for Nickelback. What the hell's that?
We might jumble things around.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, new time. We're gonna be on a Monday next week. But anyway, thank you for tuning in tonight. Bears fans, same time, same place. Not the same place, not the same time next week. But thank you for tuning in. This has been Buffon 55. Bear down, everybody.